As we end 2018, we're listening back to some of our favorite stories this year. Yesterday, we heard the first part of our story about Daniel Grossman, a childhood friend of mine who's now a doctor at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. We visited him in May. Last year, a mountain biking accident left him paralyzed, starting a few inches above his belly button. He's had to relearn how to do basic things like lifting himself or transferring from his bed into his wheelchair. And from his wheelchair to the ground and back.
I'll reposition my feet.
Yep.
Be straight. Bring my knees in.
And you want to tuck them back as far as you can. Yep.
That was more than a year ago. Today, Daniel's more comfortable in his wheelchair and has gone back to work as an ER doctor. But he's still concerned about falling out of the chair, something that's already happened to him a few times, including while he was staying at a hotel near the Mayo Clinic.
I was transferring from the toilet to my wheelchair, and I missed the transfer. I'd practiced this transfer a whole bunch of times, but I missed it, and I ended up on the ground. Now, I had also practiced getting from the ground up back onto the chair, but it's different to do that in physical therapy on a mat than it is to do naked in the middle of a tile floor with the chair not solidly held or against the wall. So I called a nurse from Mayo, and she came and helped me get up. And that was my worst fear.
How are you?
On the day we visited, Daniel took us up to the third floor of the hospital, where many doctors recognized him. This is where he started learning how to navigate the world from a wheelchair.
This is the acute rehab unit, and I was up here for 64 days. So this is the room I was in, 42. It was home for 2 months.
What is it like to be back here?
It feels good. I graduated from this place, and sort of it feels like a bit of a homecoming and a bit of a graduation. And
how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Back to work. I see you.
Back to work.
Jeez. No rest.
Hey, can't rest. Got things to do.
Yeah, you do. Got life to live, right? Good to see you.
You too.
So you feel like you have good memories of this place?
Yeah. Look, I hated being here from the sense of I'm in the hospital, but it was really good for me. The nursing care is fantastic. The physicians are great. And I, at the end of the day, have really, really positive memories of learning how to get back on my feet, so to speak. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. We brought it in.
Dr. Kristen Garlinger leads Daniel's rehab team at Mayo. She pops out of her office to tell Daniel how impressed she is by the speed of his recovery.
I think that you don't settle. It takes a special individual to take barriers and make them into opportunities, and I think you were that way before injury, and so that's kind of what gave you the upper hand compared to maybe other individuals who don't have that inherent personality. Yeah.
Personality matters in other areas of life as well, including dating. Daniel is single, and I asked him about that.
What about the single part? What do you think that your relationships will look like in the future?
I would love to be in a relationship and would love to have children. That is a primary goal of mine. And so therefore a big fear of mine as well. But plenty of stories exist of people starting relationships after having spinal cord injuries and having children. I don't see why that would be any different for me.
Have you had a date yet?
Yep.
Yeah?
I've had a few dates, and it is a self-selected population because I'm pretty upfront about the fact that I'm in a wheelchair. And so either they're okay with it or they knew me before. Is it easy? No.
It sounds like none of this is easy.
None of this is easy. It will all become easier. It's only been 9 months.
Right.
And I have to keep that in perspective.
According to the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, people with spinal cord injuries are 2 to 3 times more likely than the general population to show signs of severe depression. People with spinal cord injuries are also at a higher risk of attempting suicide.
You wrote in one of your early blog posts, because you started blogging about what was going on, that you were able to be mostly in good spirits, but you were sometimes sad and it would come and go.
Yeah, early on, I think I realized what the ramifications were, not just for me, but for everyone in my life. And I sort of had to pick between two divergent paths really early on. Option A is you are paralyzed. What are you going to do about it? Option B is you are paralyzed. Let's sit and wallow in self-pity. Hmm. And I decided for option A. And honestly, I think most people do decide for option A. But option B seems really easy. That like self-pity component seems pretty reasonable.
There are approximately 300,000 Americans living with spinal cord injuries. And Daniel's not the only one who's also a doctor. One is Dr. Francisco Sanchez at Harvard, who recorded himself doing procedures to help Daniel learn how to do them. Another is right here at the Mayo Clinic, Dr. Robert Brown, a neurologist who has used a wheelchair since he was 14 and who became a mentor for Daniel during his recovery.
And you've got, by the way, a perfectly pressed suit on, a perfectly tied tie. Daniel's been talking to us about how difficult it is sometimes to get dressed.
Yeah.
How do you make this happen?
Well, as Daniel perhaps mentioned to you, I've used a wheelchair to get around for a long time. Mm-hmm. This dates back, 40-plus years. And so this is the type of thing you just get used to, if you will, as years go by. And one was one of the things Daniel and I talked about when I first got to meet him, and we talked about this transition to the new normal, if you will, in Daniel's life and the various aspects of one's world that one needs to get used to as you participate not only in your personal life but in your professional life. You just get very used to how to put things together in the morning, you know, as you're getting ready to come in. And
you just get used to it.
You get used
practice
to it.
Practice makes perfect.
And it doesn't take very long. It probably doesn't take me a whole lot longer than it would somebody who's not using a wheelchair. My message to Daniel was that one's life can be absolute, as full, and as much of a celebration of life as it would have been prior to the accident.
One of the things our listeners can definitely hear from you is you're very upbeat.
Yeah.
How important is the attitude? And have you said anything to Daniel about that?
Yeah. Well, we talked about that early on. And my immediate perspective as I got to know Daniel in that setting is he has a very upbeat personality by nature. And that's the way I was as well. When I was initially paralyzed 40 years ago, and I think my parents would be the first to say this, I was the one who was trying to reassure them that this is going to be okay. You know, we'll just work through it over the course of time. It'll be fine. And that was just in my nature at age 14 that for whatever reason, and I think it's a very good thing that it was the case, that the more you're able to appreciate what you're able to do, despite the fact you're using a wheelchair to get around, as opposed to the things that you can't do or an obstacle in your place, you're going to be much better off and readily be able to work through whatever obstacles that might be in front of you.
As we continued to talk to Dr. Brown, Daniel was listening across the room. He wheeled over to say something himself.
So we've talked a lot about inspiration. And when you rolled into my room the first day, pristinely dressed, and you didn't treat me like a patient, you treated me like a colleague. And that, for me, was actually inspirational because you came in and said, you know, you can do all the things you want to do and you have one choice to make. And that is, do you want to do the things or do you want to choose an alternative path as you described? And I want to say thank you because you immediately alleviated my fear of travel. You immediately alleviated my fear of not being able to get back to a profession that I cared deeply and passionately about. And you showed me that you can live professionally, you can live personally, and you can do all of these things successfully. So as much as we've harped on the word inspirational, the impact you made on my life when you came and visited multiple times without any difficulty was incredible, and I want to say thank you.
Well, thank you. It means the world to me that you say that, Daniel. And as a colleague and now a close friend, it's just fantastic for me to see how well you're doing, and for many, many years to come, I'll look forward to assisting in any way I can.
Thank you.